You won't stand alone because we're only dealing with two verses today. Well, it stems from two verses. See what the Lord has to speak to us. The scripture in Colossians says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Listen to this. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Can I read that last one? The substance belongs to who?
Christ.
To Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, just speak to us this morning. You've already spoken. I'm just asking that you add to what you've already given us this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You talk about the substance, and we're talking about how they belong to Christ. I'm looking at some of the young ones, and I can't help but think back to 1984, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. I think by 1990, I was a little too old. But every year of those years that I mentioned, Easter Sunday was nothing more than getting together. And, of course, my grandmother had a whole lot of grandkids, and so we all went to Sears and JCPenney's. We went to Ventures when it was back on 367. We got a little older. We couldn't afford Ventures anymore. We went to Dynamite Food Store. Some of you might be familiar with that in Baden, and we bought like little suits for us and little dresses for all the little girls. Amen. And that was how we celebrated Easter. Now, we may have went to church, but the one thing I can't tell you is what I learned. I knew that Easter was about those eggs. Easter was about the night before, staying up all night trying to figure out how not to get that dye all over the kitchen, because sometimes it's hard to rinse that stuff off. Easter was about that basket. Easter was about eating all the boiled eggs you could possibly eat. You know, Easter meant a whole lot of things, but I wasn't certain that I understood the magnitude of what it meant and who Christ is. Amen? And so I was just concerned about that. Now I'm concerned that because it wasn't really explained to me when I was younger, now that I'm in ministry, if I didn't learn anything, I'm going to take that same kind of mindset and apply it even in ministry. There has to be an understanding of what this day is all about. It has to be more. Because, see, I was that person who didn't want to go to church unless I had a three-piece suit on. Because that's what they were. That's what my. Look, that's what they done to me. You know, I went to church. I was the greasiest person because church, Easter Sunday, I would get up and my mom would put all that grease on my face. And I would use that same grease and shine my shoes. I had my little three-piece suit. My grandfather had a tie. Yeah, I've never experienced that. Okay. I'm just telling you where I came from. My little sisters, they had the little dress with the ruffles. They had the ruffle socks. They had that little bag, the patent leather shoes with the scuff marks. They had the little bag to go over their wrist. And y'all know what I'm talking about? That was Easter Sunday. That's what Easter was all about. The preacher, I don't know what he was talking about. I learned later on in life that that thing that he do at the end was called hooping. And so I don't know what he said, but at the end, he just sounded like he couldn't breathe to me. That was Easter. I heard Jesus' name one time, you know, in the whole mess. The kids were sitting there eating, chewing bubble gum, playing with their Easter baskets, doing all kinds of stuff. Am I taking anybody back? Yeah, that was Easter. I've had to learn, and I've been talking to us, we've been dealing with being effective in ministry. The one thing I want us to get to understand is that, man, if I'm taking that same kind of mindset and that same kind of attitude, and I'm fast-forwarding and I'm applying it to today, one must question, am I being effective? Because people are confused today. People are confused, and I wonder if we are sometimes the problem of that confusion. So my question simply is this: what are we celebrating? Now, I know when I was younger, I know what I was celebrating. The new suit. Them shoes. That Easter basket. We took pictures with this random Easter bunny dude. We don't even know this dude. We at the mall at Jamestown, Northwest Plaza, one of the malls, River Rose, I'm sorry. We couldn't afford to go way out. We was at River Rose. This only applies to those who understand, so you all know what I'm talking about. We was on the 41 Lee, you know what I'm saying, with our suits and butts, with our Easter baskets, you know, skipping along. All right? I get older, and now that I'm in ministry, I have to ask myself, we should ask ourselves, what are we celebrating? Here's the deal. It gets to a point where I'm like, man, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. I'm not going to tolerate not giving God the glory. Amen. I'm not going to tolerate doing things that I know that it should be intolerable. So I want to deal with this. Today, you look at this word tolerance. I don't care where you go. You can be at work. You can turn on your TV. You can be at school. You can just be in random conversation, and you're going to hear about this word called tolerance. As I mentioned before, you can't turn on TV without being confronted with being a more tolerant society. In fact, there's a lot of pressure on us to be tolerant. Some of us are on our jobs and we can't even speak about Christ because of the ridicule that comes with that territory. And so what do? As opposed to speaking against something that we know we don't agree with, we just don't say nothing at all. When have we gotten so weak as Christians just to not say anything at all because we're so concerned with what other people think? Guess what? If we're concerned about what they think, why are we concerned about what they think about what we think? I don't care what you think. I'm going to preach the message, amen? I'm going to preach the gospel. Now, I did explain that, and to do that effectively, there's a manner in which we must do that. We sit at work right now. They always want you to participate and stuff, you know. And the moment you say, well, no, everybody's looking at you like something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. And so here's the deal. We're conditioned to feel guilty if we do not tolerate the latest fad of social change. So what do you resort to? Calling in that day? So you won't have to be a part of the situation? Well, no, I'll just stay back and I'll man the desk. Or you will just go with them, but you don't say nothing about it. And so by going with them, you do realize that you're in agreement with what it is that they're doing. Amen? All right. Here's the truth about tolerance, based on the dictionary and this definition. Tolerance can be defined as a fair, objective, and permissive attitude toward those whose opinions, practices, race, religion, nationality, etc., differ from one's own freedom. But then it goes on to say the freedom from bigotry. Then I had to look at this and I say, wait a minute, if you are mad because I have a different attitude towards your religion or your nationality or your practices, then now, doesn't that make you a bigot? That makes sense?
Right.
And so they're ridiculing me for the very thing that they're doing to me. So what makes them any better? Then they tell me I can't judge. Well, because you judge me, now you're doing the same thing you're saying that I shouldn't do. But you all know that the world has its truth, but then you have absolute truth in the word. Amen.
Amen.
So let's look at what the word says. Now, biblically, when we look at tolerance, tolerance signifies showing patience. Patience. Kindness. Long-suffering. Forbearance. And most of all, what? Love toward others. I don't want to just be tolerant with you. I'm going to be patient and long-suffering. Just because you're not where I would like for you to be doesn't mean that I shouldn't be patient with you. Who am I to not be patient with you? Who am I not to tolerate you? Now, there's some things we ain't going to tolerate. But when you look at that word in of itself, first of all, if God is still working in me, and God said he's going to complete me to the end, then who are you to say you can't tolerate me or you don't want to be patient with me? Whatever happened to loving on people? That's what we do. That's what we should be doing. Now, I ain't going to tolerate your sin. But the last time I checked, we are human. We are all of the flesh. We do sometimes make mistakes. We will err. We will mess things up. I will hurt your feelings. You will hurt mine. But we still have to love one another.
Amen.
This long-suffering, man. It isn't easy. The scripture didn't tell us that it's an easy thing to do. But it's something that must happen. Amen? Are you all with me? Very good. So we're looking at tolerance and we're looking at how everybody is just trying to come together and we're just going to sing kumbaya and everything is just going to be all good. In today's politically correct world, we're not deemed tolerant unless we formally and fully endorse practically every alternative lifestyle and worldview. You said, somebody said a couple weeks ago, they want us to be more open-minded. You're too narrow-minded. We were informed that the next time somebody tells you that, tell them amen. Here's why. I was riding to work. a couple years ago when I first discovered this. And I was looking at these bumper stickers, one of which obviously said coexist, and the other says tolerance. Now, when you look at this, what they're saying is that we're going to include all these different religions. We're going to include all these different practices and lifestyles together so that we can actually coexist. You see, the C is represented by the crescent moon. This O is the peace sign. This E, you see the male and female symbols attached with it. That star David represents the X. The pentagram is the little dot right above the I. The yin-yang sign right there we see at the end is the S. And then they're going to close it out with a cross. Or at least I think that's a cross. All right. Which represents the T. And now, so I'm confused. And my confusion comes when you have Christians who ride around in their automobiles and they say that, yeah, I'm a Christian and John 3:16 and so on and so forth. But then they have stuff like this on the bumper sticker. But then you wonder why you can't be effective in ministry. People are confused. They don't know what you believe in. Instead of saying, look, I'm going to just stand for Christ and Christ alone. Well, you know, you can get a little bit of this and you can get a little bit of that. One of your favorite ministers, T.D. Jakes, cannot tell you that Jesus is the way to heaven. But yet we buy his books. We look at his television programs. We support and endorse the people that are on his television show. Yeah, I said his name. I'll say it again. We support this stuff. Why am I listening to anyone who can't say emphatically that Jesus is the way? This is what we're dealing with because we become so tolerant. This is not good. I want to go back to where this started, or at least where I can identify where some of this may have started and had taken place. I look at the Roman Empire and how they merged with Christianity and paganism. And all the religions merged together to satisfy each religious group under the rule of Constantine the Great. Can you imagine that? All these religious ideas and beliefs and systems, you know, come together. Now, look, we have a hard time believing in the one God that we serve. Believing in some of the very basic principles and doctrines that exist in the one Bible that we read. Now, can you imagine putting all that stuff together? Now, here's the deal. Even though he claimed to be Christian, he accepted all religions and promoted religious tolerance so that all belief systems would support his rule. I thank God that he did not appoint me or assign me to be a politician. Because there's no way I feel I can be an effective politician knowing that I'm going to have to denounce Christ, basically. Because now I have to be in agreement with lifestyles that I know the Bible speaks against. I always question, can you really be a Christian and be a politician? Then I said, well, you know, Christianity is kind of vague now. We live in a society where everybody in this room right now is Christian. I'm speaking to a whole bunch of Christians right now. Somebody told me, well, Perry, man, you might want to extend that definition and then begin to identify those as believers versus unbelievers. Because when you're a believer, man, we don't do this kind of stuff. No. I'm not going to just get everybody together and sing Kumbaya. No. You don't even believe. I don't know who it is you're praying for when we're gathered in that circle. I don't want none of that. We need to understand that this is the leaven that Herod, this is the leaven of Herod, and Jesus had warned us about this. I'm not telling you nothing today that you won't find in the scriptures. Now, leaven in this case represent influence, and Herod being the leader of the government used his influence to do what? Influence the church. You're not going to hear me talking about all the social issues that go on in the inner city or North County, or wherever that stuff takes place. Because if you want to hear what I got to say about it, all you're going to hear from me is what Christ had to say about it. You're not getting my opinions. I'm not taking you back to the 60s. You're going to hear what Christ has to say about this. That's where we need to be. That's where we ought to go. The scripture tells us, and he cautioned them, saying, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. This is what Jesus had warned us against this stuff. He warned us, but much like the last time, are we paying attention? Do we have our eyes open to the very things that are right in front of us? So that brings us to Easter. That brings us up to Easter. Easter, we know, is a big deal. You got all kinds of celebrations that exist. Some of y'all, well, I don't say some of y'all. Many people went out and spent a whole lot of money on Easter candy and all that kind of stuff. Don't y'all know tomorrow it's going to be on sale for 75% off? You can get all the Easter candy you want. You get all you want, all right? But this is what we do. We get to that point where we just want to celebrate. I want my kids to enjoy what I get. Look here, when I found out that Santa Claus wasn't real, you think I want to keep telling those and perpetuating those lies to my children? The Easter Bunny? No. I'm sitting up here teaching our kids, you know, in children's church, well, you know, and how do we do that? We tell people, man, it's supposed to be about Christ, but yet we got all kind of stuff going on in the church that's not a real reflection or representation of what we're celebrating. I want to break this down. Remember I asked you, what are we celebrating? Now, even though the believers stopped using the word Easter, some of them start calling it Resurrection Sunday. You don't hear people saying Happy Easter a whole lot anymore. So when somebody told me Happy Resurrection Day, I thought it was being extra. I thought they were just being one of them kind of people. Like, dude, it's Easter. Man, you ain't got to do all that. But I understand where they're coming from because Easter is now so commercialized and associated with a lot of pagan origins and stuff that you don't know what you're going to get. So if I say, man, I'm celebrating Resurrection Day, that really lets me know that that person is in tune with the gospel of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's what they're really in tune with. It's not about this other stuff. You know, a lot of people have gone back to Easter in an effort to lure crowds. You ever heard of Super Bowl Easter? Church right over on the other side of the water over there. They got Super Bowl Easter. And so what they do is just much like you celebrate Super Bowl, the football game, and how everybody comes together. It's almost as if it's a national holiday and everybody's cheering and celebrating and so on. And so they figure if we could take that same premise and that mindset and now get each one of you to invite one person to church, now we can have this grand festival of celebration for the gospel. And we're going to charge everybody $1 to be a part of it. Sound like you're just trying to get some money. Nobody's teaching and preaching Christ. Church around the corner over here, they had a carnival. The Easter carnival. That's what they're doing. This is what we deduce Christ to. This is what we've done. In an effort to lure people to our church. I always tell people, the way that you bring them in is the way you're going to have to keep them. Because if you don't have a carnival each week, there's going to be no reason for them kids to come back because church is no longer fun anymore. What I want to do is I want to look at this particular season and get an understanding of what really, or what the real representation for who we are. And I want to look at the Catholic Church's merge. I want to see something. I want us to see some things that still exist today. Mardi Gras. Anybody familiar with Mardi Gras? I'm not going to ask you who celebrates Mardi Gras because you might look at me funny. But in Mardi Gras, here's the deal. There's always an indulgence before abstaining. I'm getting ready to stop doing something, but before I stop doing it, I got to get it in first. I got to do a whole lot of it first. Here's the reality. Carnival and Mardi Gras. Some of you ask, well, what's the difference between the two? Mardi Gras is historically down in New Orleans, where Carnival is usually celebrated in Rio de Janeiro. They do a lot of the same things. It's just that when you look at the words and what they mean, that will tell you a lot about it. Now, this Carnival Festival can be traced back to the Roman Saturnalia Festival, which was held in mid-December to honor the god Saturn with feasting, gift-giving, as well as role reversal. Now, the word Carnival means to put away, to stop eating meat. That's what that word means. Now, this came from the denial of meat during Lent. And we know the scripture teaches us the who forbore marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. But what we're seeing is that a lot of people are not adhering to the scripture or even understanding what the scripture actually means. And we're going to break this down. I want us to look at Fat Tuesday. Now, the American carnival is known as Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras. Now, this carnival celebration is where people celebrate a lot of revelry, excess, and a lot of indulgence. And there's a lot of paganism included to preparing this festival. You can see right here, there are people down. They're getting ready to stop doing something because they're getting ready to celebrate Lent. But before we celebrate Lent, we got to go and get as drunk as we possibly can. We got to go stand on top of buildings and expose ourselves and to get beads. we got to go and party and hail Zulu and honor and worship these so-called pagan kings. Now, some people feel like they're doing it just for fun. But when you realize that what you're doing and this origin of where stuff came from, should you continue to do those things? And then bring it into the church. Want to look at Ash Wednesday. Immediately follows Mardi Gras. Here's a situation where some of you may have seen people who actually smear ashes on their forehead in the form of a cross. Have you all seen that? These ashes, they cannot be washed off, and they have to worm around all day long. All day long, that's what they do. Now, during Ash Wednesday, these Catholics, they are called to fast, as well as every Friday during Lent. Now, here's the deal. This is what it looks like for those who hadn't seen it. So you see these people. You know, this guy down here, he's in church. You see the cardinal, he's putting the ashes on and so on and so forth. This guy is reading scripture. This person right here, you can see that there's something on his forehead. What that is a representation of is a chemical burn that happened when they were putting the ashes. And so now he has to go to the hospital, and now they're possibly getting ready to sue the church because they were trying to celebrate Ash Wednesday, but this is what ended up happening to him. How do you subscribe to do something? How can God ordain something, but yet something like that happened? Then you turn around and want to sue the church for something you should have been doing in the first place. Here's the deal. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. I'm at work, and you know, you say, hey, you want to come get some lunch with us? No, you know, I'm fasting. I'm fasting, and you know, I got to fast. Well, since when did fasting become a thing where you had to go and show everybody that you're fasting? You got to go around walking around like you're all doom and gloom. You got to walk around as if like everything is all bad with you. Furthermore, it says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they do what? They disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. In other words, they're putting crosses and stuff on their face, letting everybody know that I'm in a period of fast. Now, didn't the Bible clearly say don't do that? But yet this is what they're doing. Now, this is the church. The Bible is clear. Amen. Jesus said, truly I say to you, they have received their reward.
Yes.
What I'm trying to figure out is why we take on them same practices. That's what I'm trying to figure out. And then you got Lent. Oh, my goodness. People at work, well, I'm getting ready to stop eating meat for 30 days. I'm getting ready to stop doing this. And you, matter of fact, they don't even last the 40 days. They start right back doing the very thing they said they was going to stop doing because it's no substance behind what it is that they're doing. There's no biblical precedent behind what you do. Lent is a Catholic 40-day observation and fast to commemorate the 40-day fast of Jesus, and it's done 6 weeks leading up to Monday, Thursday. Are you all with me? This is the period of giving up something for 40 days, but guess what? There's nowhere in the Bible where you can find that. Nowhere in Scripture where you can find that. Lent is used for fasting from sin and forsaking sin and sinful ways. That's what it's used for. Well, because it's Lent, I'm going to stop smoking. But then you want to start right back up again. I'm going to give this up, but then you start right back up again. That doesn't make sense. What are we doing? It is a season for penance, which means sorrow and sin and conversion to God. Now here God is telling them through Jeremiah, look here, tell them they need to cut this out. Jeremiah wouldn't spoke to the people, and I'm paraphrasing. They didn't want to listen to him. God said them a second time. They didn't want to listen. Third time, God said, look here, man, I've had enough. Though they fast, I will not hear their choir. That's something when God said, you know what, there's nothing you can do at this point. I'm done with you. I done warned you over and over and over again. Don't do these things, but yet this is what you do. And though they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. Why? Because God tells us in his word that obedience is better than your sacrifice. He said, but I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. He was warning them, but yet they didn't get it. And then we embrace the same practices that they employ, yet knowing the result. If you read the scripture, now I don't know what the guy was reading, but I know what we read. Look at Monday, Thursday. or the Holy Thursday, marking the end of Lent. And that's the day in which the Last Supper is commemorated, and then followed by that Fish Fry Friday, which was a tradition to consume fish on Good Friday. Now, when I first discovered this years ago, I was like, man, is that why we eat fish and spaghetti on Fridays growing up? You know, y'all ever had that? Fish, spaghetti? I'm talking to myself. Perry, I remember that time when I had the fish, spaghetti, the onions, the pickles, the hot sauce, and that wet bread. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. But I looked at this and I said, man, Friday is named after Freya, which was the fish moon goddess, and eating fish on Friday was to commemorate her. Now, these are all pagan things, so I want you all to see that. Now, this goes back to Dagon, who was actually the priest of fish. And so the mitre is the symbol of fish that's used for Christianity. And this is what you see. If you notice, you have the religious had this mitre, and it's all from Babylon. I told you all, we got to get rid of these Babylonian garments, but nobody wants to listen. And so now, if you can see the distinction between the two. Now, here it is. On one side, you have the Pope, all right, or some level of bishop. And on the other side, what you see is something very, very similar, which is the priest of the ancient Dagon, and this is all about worship. Can you all see it? It's right there. It's right there. As we move on, I want you to look at Tammuz. He was the Babylon god of the spring. He was known as the husband and the lover of the goddess Ishtar. Now, the followers of this cult believe that when the green vegetation had shriveled up and it died in the hot summer, they believed that because he had died and thus began to descend to the underworld. Now, this is their belief. So the worshipers at this point, they're upset, they're sad, they're crying because all their vegetation has died. It's basically getting ready. We're going into summer. What are we going to do now? And then in the springtime, the vegetation had reappeared, and so they began to rejoice, believing that he had somehow came back to life. This is their thinking. God has showed Ezekiel. He said that many people were no longer worshiping the true God of life and vegetation. The point I want to make to you is that we got to stop thinking about the creation and start worrying about the Creator. If we can start focusing on, look, all this stuff out here that I relish and I cherish and I look and say, man, wow, this is nice and it's all good and blah, blah. Then I start to think about it, man, God. It's all about God. Amen? Amen. That's what it's about. Ain't about the creation. It's about the Creator. All this information that I'm sharing with you can look this right up. Tammuz and Ishtar, they were called Asherah and the Queen of Heaven. It's right there in the Bible. Go to Ezekiel chapter 8 or Judges or Jeremiah. There's so many different places where you find this information. Many believe that Easter was created as a celebration event and worship to the goddess of fertility. And key word, fertility and the power of the sun. And so the name Easter is said to derive from Ishtar. This is what's going on, and this is the representation of that. Now, you may look at that and be like, oh, man, this is beautiful. That's pretty. That's whatever. That's demonic. You're talking about the power of the sun. Why do you think we have these sunrise services? Because they were worshiping the sun. And so now these churches say, well, you know what? We got to get up at 6:45 in the morning before the sun rises and begin to have these services. Y'all don't see the connection? You see? Uh-huh. Somebody asked me the other day, y'all going to have a sunrise? I said, man, shoot, we lucky to get here at 10:30. No, we ain't doing no sunrise. Now, many of us may get up and pray or whatever, but I don't know you. I'm going to call next week. I'm going to call y'all. Sunrise service, 6:45. It'll be me and, well, I won't say me and him, but, you know, my kids are like, you on your own, dude. But this is what's going on. This is the Queen of Heaven right here. Oh, man. Fertility. Fertility, based on how they worshiped gods, were known to come from the eggs as well as the bunny that exists. This is the representation. And so, man, think about it. Looking at church and it's like, wow, how can I give this chick, the Queen of Heaven, glory for bringing out the sun when God is the Creator of all things? Why am I giving her somebody else credit for the vegetation when God made all that happen? And see, they'll try to use that to say, well, you know, this is how we get our winter and this is how we get our spring. I'll say, no. I'm talking about God now. All right. This is where we are. And so now you go to church, and you know, it looks cute. That's what happened. Everything is cute. But then you go to church, and these churches are having Easter egg. First of all, you're confusing people. That's why we can't be effective in ministry, because we bring the stuff right into the church. You tell people in the church, it's about Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. But yet you have an Easter egg hunt right in your church. Look at this. Two kids hurt themselves because they were trampling over each other, having Easter eggs. My family on blast. Y'all not messing up my grandkids. So all your parents to the kids, so my kids who got grandkids, y'all ain't messing my kids up. So I'm letting you all know right now in front of everybody, leave them alone. We're going to bring them all right. And the reason why I say this is because these are the same kids that's going to become me someday.
Yeah.
Them the same. Those are the same kids who thought church was really all about going to church just to have your suit on. And so I'm telling you all this because when I got older, I didn't want to go to church unless I looked like the deacon. Now, people say, oh, well, you know, that's what's wrong, whatever, whatever. Don't fault me for wanting to dress up, because I still want to give God the glory. But that's just where I was at the time. I was a little kid, but what happens when you're a little kid and that's all you know? So nobody's teaching me we're going to church because, man, we ought to. And it's a good thing. They're not teaching me the reason for why we're celebrating. They're teaching me, man, you know, Easter Sunday, and it's, you know, it is what it is. But I know what I'm celebrating. Amen? I know what we should be celebrating. This commercialization, chocolate, Easter bunnies, these marshmallow chicks. We got to make it look cute. The enemy is not going to make anything look bad. Sin is always going to look good to you. It's always going to entice you. Now, I'm not saying eating chocolate or whatever is sin. What I'm just trying to tell you is that how we commercialize these holidays and then try to bring it into the church and lose the effectiveness of our ministry because people don't know if we're a ministry or if we're a playground. An ancient pagan belief is to ingest the gods that you worship. So guess what? The candy and all the eggs and the Easter bunny and all that, when you ingest that, basically you're ingesting the goddess of fertility. You're worshiping her. And in essence, to get the strength and vitality and her fertility. That's what eggs represent. I got the Holy Spirit in me. That's power. I ain't got to eat another egg in my life. I want us to get this and see this. Guess what? This is why the eggs are boiled and colored in a desire and an effort to be more pleasing. No kid you know is just going to go and eat a regular boiled egg. But you start putting dye on them. You start painting them. You start putting stickers and stuff on them. How many eggs are you going to eat at that point? You start giving out all these pastel Easter baskets and so on and so forth. It becomes more enticing to them. That's what they celebrate. The question is now, what are we celebrating? This is what I'm celebrating right here.
Amen.
This is what we celebrate right here. The fact that he took my place, amen? The fact that he took our place. I'm celebrating Jesus Christ. Why am I celebrating him? Because when Jesus was on the cross, he took that punishment that we deserved. He did that. He didn't do anything wrong, but yet we did it. He did not deserve to die, but he willingly took our place and he experienced death for us. I'm talking substitutionary atonement at this point right now. You don't know what that means. Go look that up. Look, the Bible tells us that it was the righteousness for the unrighteous. It was the innocent for the guilty. The perfect for who? For me, the corrupt. That's what Jesus, that's why I'm celebrating him. He took our place in that what? He was made sin for us. He was made sin for, I need you all to catch this. For our sake, he became made to be sin who knew no sin. He couldn't even sin, but yet he took that on for, he did that for me and you. Can't no Easter bunny do that for us. Can't no Ishtar do that for us. I don't care if you call her Easter, Ashtoreth, Tammuz, or anybody else. I'm talking about Jesus Christ right now. Amen. That should excite you so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He didn't just do it just to be doing it. He did it for a purpose. See, many of us don't understand what it means when God said, I so loved you all that I gave you my only son. My only begotten son. We try to find a comparison. Well, I got $3. Maybe if I give this one up. No, that don't even compare to the love that God had for us when he gave his only begotten son. Understand what that means. And I guarantee you, you'll change your life. You'll change your perspective. Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was suspended between earth and heaven. All the sins of the world was placed on him. The perfect Son of Man carried our guilt. Not just my guilt, but your guilt as well. Here he is hanging up. He's hanging up on the cross, everybody. I'm talking about nails and stuff in his hand. You know, he was pierced in his side. You all saying this because of the blood. This is what he experienced for you and I. This is what we should be celebrating right now. Man, he took our place. He experienced physical death. And it wasn't just a physical death like the lawbreakers. No, why? But everybody has to die. But what he did for us is totally different. Totally different. Totally different. I'm looking at a guy like Barabbas who was like, man, look here. I know that what I did, I deserve to die. But what he did, this man didn't do anything at all. And he ended up taking his place. Oh, how many Barabbases are in here today? Knowing that you deserve to be the one that was up on that cross. You deserve to be the one that was up there. You're the one that was sinning. But yet here, the God that we love, suspended between earth and heaven, and he's laid off, man. And all the agony that he had to go through, the pain that he had to experience. He didn't do that just so we can come in and celebrate or sing a few songs. No, he did that because he loved us. And he wanted us to be right with God. That's the God that we're celebrating today. Now, you can go cook all the Easter eggs you want to. But before you leave this place, you better recognize who Jesus is. We understand that sin was the violation of God's law. We get all of that. We know that. But guess what? We all deserve this death. And he released us from that, everybody. You deserve something to say, you know what, man? Don't even worry about that. Don't even worry about that. He was executed as a criminal. He didn't just die. No, they killed him like a criminal. Do you know what it meant to be executed the way that he was? Do you know that was like the ultimate punishment, the ultimate shame? Go back and study and read your Bibles and look and see what he had to go through. He was sinless, and his death helped us out. He had no personal sin to pay for. Sometimes I try to cover the things that my family do. You know, I try to cover, and I try to take that burden on. But that cannot equate to what Christ had did for us. If you leave here not understanding that, man, I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what else I can say to you. We had a legal debt that has been paid in full. We were talking the other day, brother, about them old songs. And one thing that came up, remember, it said, he paid a debt we did not owe. And guess what? I owed a debt that I could not pay. All right. That's how we celebrate him today. Some of you all, you can't just keep coming to church week after week thinking that it's okay. You better get with the program. You better get with this program. But the penalty for sin extends beyond physical death as well. Why? Because there's a spiritual association with this thing. I'm talking the separation from God. A part of the agony on the cross. I want you all to see this. That's why I wrote it out. He was already feeling separation from the Father. Now, I'm not saying God had left him. But what I'm saying is he was feeling some level of separation. 3 hours in the darkness, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. In other words, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? How many times have you felt this way? How many times have you wanted to say, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why have you left me? What am I going through this situation? I can't take this anymore. The burden that has been placed on my life, I can't do it anymore. Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why am I here dealing with this thing that I'm dealing with? Now, you may feel that way, but sometimes it's because of what you may have done. I'm talking about a man who had no sin. He did this for us. And because of the sacrifice on our behalf, we ain't never got to experience a sense of abandonment. I never had, the Bible tells us he'll never leave you nor forsake you. What, and it's proven that because of what he did. Had he not done what he done, where would I be? Ask yourself, where would you be? Easter needs to take on a whole new meaning. It needs to take on a whole new meaning for those who don't understand. Don't leave this place today not being in relationship with him. Don't leave out of this place. God is good to us. He's good to us. I'll never be able to explain what Christ has done for us. And maybe neither could you. But when you get it, when you appreciate where you were at, and ultimately where you're going to go, because of your willingness to acknowledge him, and accept him for who he is. That changes everything. His suffering was intense, everybody. I'm back on Jesus right now. Are you okay with that? Can I talk about Jesus this morning?
Amen.
Look, I'm back on him. The days leading up to his crucifixion. He was already distressed about what's getting ready to happen. Now, here's a man who knows what's getting ready to go down. He knows that he's getting ready to die. He knows that he's getting ready to go on this journey. He knows that he has to pick up that cross and carry it and all the burdens that come with that. I need you to see this. And then you have people trying to dissuade him. Oh, no, you ain't going to. Even his own people tried to block him from going to the cross. Surely you ain't got to die. You're the Savior. Surely you're not going to die. What he said, get behind thee, because I got work to do.
Yes.
I'm so glad he wasn't fickle like most of us. I'm so glad he didn't listen to his own people. Because had he done that, we wouldn't be able to sit here today and tell this story. God has been good to us. I'm talking about a Jesus marching on like a good soldier. Yeah, he may have said, Lord, well, why do I got to deal with this? And he said, God said, look here, no, you're going to do it because you built for it. I created you for it. I made you for it for times such as this. Man, Jesus didn't take the way out when it came time to do what he needed to do in ministry. Personalize this. I'm tired of Christians or so-called Christians only wanting to go to church. We call them CMEs, Christians, Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas. God is saying, keep playing. Just like he told Jeremiah to tell the people. In fact, God told him, man, stop praying for them. I'm done with them. They had their chance. I ain't trying to scare nobody. I'm trying to preach to you the truth. On the night that he was arrested, he was so overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. I need you to see what he was going through. See, we go out and buy gold chains and all kind of little things like that. Look here, that gold chain is not, there's nothing glorious or glamorous about the cross. In fact, the Bible describes it as a curse. And we walk around with platinum bling bling on like it's all good. And none of our lifestyles even line up with what that cross really represents. But we walking around, yeah, look, bling, bling. I'm saying that because I had a cross when I was younger. And it had a whole lot of rhinestones in it. I didn't understand truly what it meant to be a follower of Christ. I just went to church every Sunday. I played on the drums back every Sunday. It was something to do. It felt good. I love playing the happy music. So I can keep all of you all in your emotions. I can keep everybody, yeah, at my bay. Yeah, Perry, you better play. You better do this when we all should have been focusing on Christ and what he's done. I'm looking at what he's meant. There's not a movie I can watch that can depict what he had to go through. Now, I watched the Gospel of John all this morning, last night, the Mel Gibson one, whatever it's called, The Passion of Christ. I watched all of them. And none of them can still compare. I watched Jesus of Nazareth. I watched all of them. And came no screenshot. None of those movies can depict what he actually went through. They can give me only a little glimpse of what could have happened or what may have happened. Even the most graphic, horrific scene that I saw, it frails in comparison to what he went through. And he did that for us. I need you to understand that when you're going through some stuff, much like Christ did, he had an angel there to strengthen him. Now, I know a lot of you pray, but I don't know if you ever prayed to the point where you began to sweat blood. I'm talking about the intensity of what he had to deal with and what he knew he was about to endeavor. That's the Christ we serve. So in order for us to be saved, guess what? He had to take our place and die for sin. He had to lay down his own life as a sacrifice. Why? Because without the shedding of his blood. What do you think we sang all this morning about the blood? That was intentional. It was spirit-led, but it was intentional. Because if we don't get that, then what are we doing here? We want to be like the church down the street where they outside having fun right now because it's nice outside. We can go outside and put some eggs and stuff on the ground. But is God going to be pleased with that? Is somebody going to be touched by what God has done? I'm waiting on God to save somebody today.
Amen.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
His sacrifice was perfect in holiness and worth. When you recognize, man, what you are worth, man, God, think about it, man. God loved you enough. You ain't even got to think about the person sitting next to you. He loved you enough. Personalize this.
That's right.
He loved me.
Yes.
Now, think back to all the things that you do. Think about the things that you may have done. Brother Ernest, think about the things that we talked about that the future. I'm not giving anybody a pass of sin. But Christ paid it all. God is good to me. And then you think about the power. What's that song we sang it out? It would never, ever lose its power.
Amen.
This is good. After the resurrection, Jesus had to go and show his scars to the apostles. He had to show them to them. Maybe there's a lack of faith that may have existed in some or whatever. I'm not even mad at that. Sometimes we ask God to show us the manifestation of something that he's done. He gets it. So before we go and criticize Thomas and all that he's done, let's start looking at what you used to do. Can I preach in this place today? I want to close by saying this. As long as our salvation lasts forever, a lot of the people are looking to spend their time in heaven. We're not going to spend any time in heaven. We're going to exist in heaven. And we're going to exist eternally. The marks of our Savior's suffering will be visible as an eternal reminder that he took our place. As an eternal reminder that he took our place. A lot of what we do, a lot of what we celebrate is to remind us of something. Today, can we be reminded of what he's done? I just want us all to consider this last verse, and I'm done. Surely he has borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Why? Because he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was what? Crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with the King James Version say, and by his stripes, what? We are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. What am I saying? There's not a person in this room that this doesn't apply to. But yet, look at how it finishes. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If you can't appreciate that, man, I don't know what else I can tell you. If you can't understand what God is doing and what he has done, I don't know what else I can say. I'm talking about a celebration. I'm talking about a Resurrection Day celebration. I'm not going to be legalistic and tell you you cannot use the word Easter. But I do want us to understand that if you really consider Christ, then let's really think about that phrase, he is the reason for the season. And not just for this season, but others to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. I hope and I pray, Lord, that you save somebody today. I hope that this word has penetrated someone's heart so much so that a decision today can be made to come to you, O God. God, you said that no man know the day or the hour, but we know actually you come back every day, O God, because none of us are promised tomorrow. And so I'm just asking, oh God, that you touch our hearts in such ways where we don't presume that we can make it to the next Easter. For us to come to you. This presumptuous sin, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you, touch us today, oh God. If there was anyone who had a mindset the way that I did in my youth, oh God, I'm asking that you touch these hearts today, oh God. I'm asking that you reach each person in here, oh God. And I'm asking that you bless those who are saved, oh God, and bring someone to you who just don't know.
Yes.
Come into this place and seek them out, oh God. Find them, all right, in the name of Jesus. Before we leave this place, oh God, if there's any level of embarrassment or shame, oh God, for what we have done, oh God, then we know that you've already paid it all. And I don't have to worry about what others think because this is personal. And so I'm asking that as we meditate on what it is that you've done, oh God, just do what you normally do, oh God. do what only you are capable of doing, oh Heavenly Father. We're so careful not to give those pagan gods any type of glory. We don't really even want to mention them, oh Heavenly Father. But we do know that there is none like you. We thank you for the blood today. We thank you for its power. Now with that same power, we're asking that you save someone today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just spend a few moments.